What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Started up. It is Big 12 Football Media Days, day number two, which will feature the Texas Longhorns. Tom Herman and company will be on hand later today, along with Patrick Vahe, Chris Nelson, Andrew Beck, and Brecken Hager. I wonder if Hager becomes the guy that steps out and makes some buzz. He has had some statements in the past that raised some eyebrows. Always a candid guy. He'll tell you what he thinks, and Big 12 Football Media Days could use that. Not a lot of storylines yesterday. People looking for storylines. Lincoln Riley talking about there is a quarterback battle at Oklahoma. TCU's coach Gary Patterson saying that there's a chip on the shoulder because maybe not getting their defense, not getting enough love in the preseason. So that was somewhat intriguing yesterday. But Buck, Big 12 Football Media Days day two, brought to you by Reliable Automotive. Keep it local, keep it reliable. We will see Tom Herman and company. And they're, I was told yesterday, Buck, they're doing the whole hit it and quit it thing. They're coming in and getting out. They'll fly in and fly out, not on the ground. Like Gary Patterson and his crew were here, drove up from Fort Worth and were here all day yesterday. They're going to come in. Texas will do their thing, and they'll fly back tonight. They'll be back home.
I think that was sort of what Tom did last year. He came here, and then he got out of here. He didn't stick around. And
yeah, no hotel stay.
No, Gary Patterson was making the rounds all day again yesterday, and his team was here.
Yeah.
Well, they just ride down the road, so I mean, it's not much for them. And it just Tom. That's just Tom. What he likes to do. He wants to get out. He doesn't want to hang around. He wants to have a lot of conversation. He wants to get back to work. I would think this is work time. You know, Gary Patterson told us yesterday, that he's going right back to the office and start making game plans up and practice plans.
And scripting their fall workouts and how that's going to go. The insights we learned yesterday, we'll dive into some of those. Great guest lineup all through today. So lock it in as you get up and get out, as you're headed in on what's going to be a 100-degree day in Austin, Texas. 100 degrees today, 103 tomorrow, I saw, and even warmer the next. So a really, really warm stretch here in mid-July. Be advised of that. As I always tell you on a Bud Light Tuesday, if you're heading over to our friends at Doc's and Doc's Backyard, dollar margaritas when
there
it's 100.
You go.
Dollar margaritas. So if you just got to cool off this afternoon, get over to Doc's and get after it. That's a good opportunity to bear these 100-degree days. Let's get you some headlines, get you caught up on the news of the day, and then we'll pick up the football conversation, dive into our coach's corner. And as we said, the guest lineup is percolating. We'll talk to Jeff Howell from Horns 24/7. We're going to talk to Jake Trotter, who covers the Big 12 for ESPN and ESPN.com. Talked to Brady Quinn this morning from Fox Sports. Saw him last night. He's in town, so we'll get to all those folks, plus Brian Davis of Hook'em.com and many, many more as we bring you the sights and sounds of Big 12 Football Media Day. But right now, let's get you the news. Ticket City Update desk time. We will start with some baseball. How about the All-Star game last night? The festivities taking center stage as it was the home run derby. Houston Astros All-Star third baseman Alex Bregman didn't make it out of the first round. Acquitted himself well, though, as he had 15 home runs in his 4 minutes, but came up just one homer shy of Kyle Schwarber of the Cubs. Schwarber found himself into the final against the hometown hero Bryce Harper. And how about this rally last night? Kyle Schwarber of the Cubs had an 18-10 lead on Bryce Harper in the final with under a minute to go. Remember, they're on a clock now. Bryce Harper dialed in and dialed it up, blasted 9 home runs in a 47-second span to take the crown 19-18. High drama. Bryce Harper, your home run king for 2018. Interesting that Bryce Harper, a free agent at the end of the year, as is All-Star shortstop Manny Machado of the Baltimore Orioles. Report this morning that Machado will suit up as a member of the Baltimore Orioles during tonight's All-Star game. But John Heyman, the insider from Baseball Insider, says that Machado is very close to being traded away. Heyman names the Philadelphia Phillies, Milwaukee Brewers, and L.A. Dodgers as leaders for Machado, with the Yankees and Indians lagging behind at this point. Machado, an impending free agent. Wherever he goes, it's likely to be a rental, but he is batting 315, 24 home runs, 65 RBI, and a career-best OPS of 962. Here at the All-Star break. Major League All-Star game is set to take place tonight, 7 o'clock at Nationals Park. A.J. Hinch, the manager of the American League team, going with Chris Sale to get the start. The big lefty from the Red Sox will start for the third consecutive year. Max Scherzer will start for the National League. One report from the NBA suggests that the Toronto Raptors' Brian Windhorst, of ESPN reporting the Toronto Raptors have emerged as the clear favorite to acquire the services of Kawhi Leonard, with the Lakers and 76ers maybe giving up hope. Also, a report from the NFL. Yesterday was the last day for franchise players to sign a long-term contract. Le'Veon Bell turned down the Pittsburgh Steelers' final offer. He says he plans to be a free agent at the end of next season, says he'll play one more year with the Steelers and then test the market. And that's the news. And there we go. That's what we have. Good stuff.
Yeah. This day will be a lot going on, especially with the Longhorns here and Tom Herman. Tom Herman will be asked a lot of questions, and of those one question, he'll be asked, who's your starting quarterback? And Tom Herman's probably not going to say a word about who his starting quarterback is, with the exception of, we're still in the process. There's still a process going on, and there'll be a quarterback battle all the way to the very end, which there always is. And that's fine with me. It's the players that are around the quarterbacks that are going to be most interesting to me. How they're going to get this run game started? How's the center going to play? The center will be very important on this offensive line. How the kid from Rice will fit at tackle? What can they do there? This line has to get a whole lot better in order for the Horns to get better. And it starts with the defensive line, Ian. It starts with the offensive line. Where they go from there. I'm not as worried about the quarterback as everybody seems to be worried about the quarterback. There's plenty of weapons at wide receiver. It's the ability to get the ball down the field. And I think Sam's going to be much better at that, whether it's Sam or Shane. I think they have that. I think they have the receivers, especially with little Jordan Humphrey. My deal is what this offensive line is going to be like and how they protect this quarterback and how they run the football.
It's the number one focus for Texas because,
yes.
I mean, it has to be. I mean, it was dreadful last year. And I remember last year Tom Herman in his first year was asked about concerns, and he said we're very thin on the offensive line, and if we suffer key injuries there, we're going to be in trouble. He pretty point blank, and anybody could see that as far as it goes. But they did suffer key injuries on the offensive front, and especially to Connor Williams, and it really slowed down any opportunity they had last year. But it has to be a lot better. There is no doubt. All right, B&A live at Big 12 Football Media Days. It is brought to you by Reliable Automotive. Keep it local. Keep it reliable. And look who's up early. Looks like he's getting a workout in.
Of course
he is.
He never stops.
One of our favorite conversations at Big 12 Media Days every year. He is from Fox Sports, but a longtime coach, Dallas Cowboys, college and pro. He is Dave Wanstead, the coach. He'll be on our coach's corner. What's up, coach?
Not much. I was headed down for a workout, and I realized that I was working so hard here yesterday with some of your counterparts down there. I left my bag there.
Left your bag of stuff down there, huh?
But very honest people, I'll tell you what, it was sitting right where I left it, so that's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Good, honest people. We leave all our equipment here overnight, so we have to pack it up and then pack it in. How you doing? You ready for some football?
I am. This is the first real kickoff event, the first conference one that Fox is involved with. Obviously we'll get involved with the Big Ten a little bit next week in the Pac-12, mm-hmm. Pac-12 and the Big Ten, but the Big 12 is obviously the first kickoff, and that kind of gets you talking ball and coaches and players and media, and it's here.
Well, it is a conference that is kind of wide open this year, with the exception of, to me, is Oklahoma. Oklahoma is always Oklahoma,
right?
And they've won so many of these things. We always say it's wide open, but they seem to be hoisting the trophy every year. But with the exception of Oklahoma, that will be, with a new quarterback and the Heisman Trophy winner not there. This conference is pretty wide open. There's a lot of teams that are really, I think, Coach, that have gotten better.
Absolutely.
Actually.
Absolutely. It's I thought last year, in fact, it may have been on your show at this time, I said that Texas would close the gap faster than what people were thinking. And I was referring, and everybody says, well, why? Some programs, it takes them 10 years to get back.
Right.
But Texas is one of those programs, and I know it pretty well. You got to compare. I remember when USC went on probation, and they said, oh, God, USC, it's going to be 10 years. And 2 years later, they were back in the championship. Penn State, when they went through all their off-the-field problems, and, Coach Paterno and that whole thing, everybody says, will they ever get back? I mean, Penn State right now is as good a football program as a team as there is in the country. So my point is Texas has that type of tradition. Obviously the facilities are in an area where they can recruit and get players. I think Texas, and everybody's expecting Texas to make a step forward this year. I believe they will. You know, sometimes you can win too quick as a coach, and nobody wants to admit that. You go in there and you win 10 games, and the next year they won 11. You know, that's just the way the business is. So I think Tom Herman, you know, last year they set a good foundation. They played some young players. They really, I thought, did as good a job as anybody on defense. So they got a good foundation set moving forward.
And as you were walking up, we were discussing their offensive line. I mean, it really was their Achilles heel. I mean, Connor Williams, the All-American tackle, got hurt in the USC game. And from that point on, they really struggled to cobble together five guys that could block. And, you know, you've been around the game long enough that it's hard to do much of anything offensively if you can't block people up front.
And when you have a freshman quarterback, yeah. Right? I mean, you know, you combine that. If you got a veteran quarterback, he can get rid of that ball a little quicker, and he can make some adjustments kind of on his own. But a young kid, you know, it's going to fall on the offensive line more. And so that's another thing that obviously, you know, you look at the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, right now everybody talks about all these positions. The Dallas Cowboys offensive line is the thing that gives them a chance, I think, to take the next step. That's going to be a big factor. I agree with you with Texas. And, you know, it's not a dark horse pick, you know, but my kind of off the wall – keep an eye on West Virginia. You know, if you look at the schedules, I don't have one in front of me right now, but West Virginia could conceivably go 8-0. I mean, they could right. They could get a lot of momentum going. So everybody's talking about Oklahoma and how good, you know, is Texas going to be. Keep an eye on that West Virginia team. They have the best quarterback in the league, maybe the best quarterback in the country. I was talking to Dana Holgorsen in Arizona about 3 months ago before the draft, 4 months ago, and they weren't sure whether he was going to come back or not. You know?
We'll agree, yeah.
Yeah, and he makes a decision to come back. So to answer your question, you know, it's going to be competitive. It's going to be real competitive, and there could be some surprises.
Coach, what do you think of the conference and them stepping outside conference play and really playing some – really nice opponents now, you know, early in the season, not just for national, but for even your fans, when teams are starting to play like Ohio State, UCLA,
right?
You know, Texas playing, I mean, the
USC,
teams
yeah.
at USC, I mean, it's just, this is good for the Big 12 to do this.
You know what? Absolutely. But I'll tell you what, I was talking to the commissioner last night, and one of my pet peeves with college football right now is that everybody should do that. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I mean, I just keep coming back to, you know, if one school is going to play two or three extra Power 5 teams and another school is going to play one, you know what I mean? I would like to see them all play the entire country. Everybody play eight conference games
right.
maybe, and then you got to play two other Power 5 teams. That gives you 10. And then if you want to pick up a lesser opponent, you can. You know, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with
to yeah.
balance this championship stuff out. And some schools just aren't going to do it. They
no.
don't need the money. They don't care. And other schools are trying to do what you said. They're trying to add some quality teams. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
I just like to see it all be equal. You know, I mean, I really would.
Yeah, because the SEC only plays eight conference games, where the Big 12 and the Pac-12 play nine. Pac-12, and then you step out, you play you're going to play USC. You know, Texas fans and, you know, the state of Texas still clamoring for the Longhorns to play the Aggies at some point again.
Right, right,
which
sure.
would be great.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. You know, what's gotten lost in this thing is the rivalry
for
games.
For sure.
You know what I mean? For Pitt not – and I'm a Pitt grad, so for Pitt not to play West Virginia every year,
oh.
you know what I mean? It's crazy. And they come back and they say, well, we can't afford to put it in the schedule because we got too many of this. And the Big Ten, I think the Big Ten has – they have to play 10 Power 5 teams. You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
a conference role. So they really get handcuffed. And that's something else I think they got to keep looking at. But it's good for the conference, good for the Big 12. It's exciting. At USC or Texas plays USC. I mean, that's going to be a huge game. You know,
yeah. Oh, TCU at Ohio State.
TCU at
awesome.
Ohio State. That's an awesome game. I mean, that's they're national games, and I know, you know, we'll be all over that USC Texas game. Fox will be.
Dave Wannstedt with us from Fox Sports, of course, longtime coach. We got to ask you, because last year at this time we previewed it, and then we haven't talked to you since, but. Last year, Jerry Jones went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and you were at the big party in the weekend. How would that weekend go, getting to see a lot of your former friends and former all your friends and Jerry? Heard the party was pretty good.
Yeah, the party was someone told me that Eddie DeBarlow the year before, 2 years before, had the best party, and Jerry had some infiltrators. He had people there seeing how big and bad.
Because his was going to be better.
And his was going to be better. And the best thing, though, was at the party, and they had everything set up. I don't know how many people were there. You know, it was from political people to every owner, and it was crazy.
Coach Johnson show up?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy was there, and we were a lot of the ex-players, the current team, the cheerleaders. And then Jerry comes up, and he's up behind kind of sitting on a and they introduced, they said, well, if everybody turns around, he had like a Caesar thing built up on top, you know, and it had velvet ropes around it, and his family was up there. And then Jerry grabs the mic and says, hey, we're going to have a party, and this is going to be a party. And all of a sudden, the stage opens up, and Justin Timberlake and not just
that's
him.
Right.
15-member band. And someone told me it was like $2 million or something like that. And he played for like 4 hours or something. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's so, good time.
And then when you leave, here's the clincher. Because there was myself, North Turner, Tony Wise, a lot of the guys from the staff that came. And we were leaving. It was probably 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was like leaving a wedding reception. You went outside. They had buses to take you back to the hotel. They gave you 2 waters and a small little mini dozen of donuts, you know? I mean, it
thought of everything.
Didn't miss a thing, you know? I mean, it was an event.
It was
an event.
And I'm sure that was a great weekend to get back to. Pro Football Hall of Fame inductions coming up again at the end of the month, early August, there in Canton, Ohio. Dave Wannstedt is with us. Interesting, you know, big picture of college football outside the Big 12. Last year, I mean, the tremendous Final Four, I mean, it was huge for college football, the overtime game with Georgia, Oklahoma, then the overtime game and the championship game. What's kind of your thumbnail on what we're looking at big picture with, you know, Alabama always the prohibitive favorite. Clemson looks like they're terrific. The Big Ten, Pac-12.
Georgia's still making their move again.
Yeah,
now.
You know, we're mentioning and talking about, and rightfully so, all the teams, you know, that year in and year out are there. I don't know. I think if you went through each conference, I mentioned West Virginia. You know, I guess I'm always pulling for, and maybe is this the year that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh can break out of the Big Ten? You know, is this the year that West Virginia, you know, with Will Greer,
does Stanford make a return?
Is you know what? I think the shift in the Pac-12 for the last 2 or 3 years, really, it's really been the South, the USC's, the Arizona State, the power. I think this year the 3 best teams I think in the Pac-12 are going to be from the North. It's going to be Stanford. Washington's going to be really good, and Oregon could have as good a quarterback, and they've got a great offense. I mean, if Oregon's going to be, could be the sleeper. They could be the West Virginia of that conference this year.
Yeah,
to keep an eye on.
Their quarterback is tremendous.
And I was talking to Brady Quinn last night. You know, obviously he's halfway blinded with Notre Dame. You know,
all the way. That was a mistake.
And he was talking about Notre Dame. He was up there, I guess, during the spring or something like that, and he thinks Notre Dame is going to come out and be really good this year and be in the mix at the end. So, you know, it'd be nice to kind of mention a few sleeper teams, somebody that hasn't been there, but I don't know. I don't know who it's going to be.
Well, I think one of the, you know, when we talk sleeper teams, Gary Patterson can flat-out coach.
Yeah.
And if his quarterback, if this young quarterback, who was a 5-star recruit that everybody in the country wanted – he's got more defense than you can shake a stick at, and he's got offensive threats all over the place.
And he's got the big game early with Ohio State.
Yes.
If they were to win that in Arlington and launch them into the Big 12.
That would put him in position early to start defending off people. And, you mentioned TCU. I didn't mention them. I mean, when you talk about the Big 12, they probably get the least amount of conversation. But might be as deserving. You know, it'll be interesting to see what Kansas does. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, Jeff Long, he's the guy that hired me at Pittsburgh. I know Jeff real well. And, you know, can they make a little step forward?
Mm-hmm.
You know, David Beatty, I mean, you know, have they got good enough players to do that? You know, just from a conference standpoint, that there'll be a lot of attention on that school, I think, because of bringing in a new athletic director. They've raised, what, $300 million. They're going to build up the facilities.
Right.
Kansas sounds like, to me, in the conference, that they're the one school that have they've made some commitments in different areas to try to make a surge, which is good. Good for the conference.
I'll be interested. You mentioned Penn State, and you're a Pittsburgh guy. It'll be interesting for you in the Big Ten if Penn State, they lose a lot, including Saquon Barkley, but they still have the quarterback. And James Franklin has built a really nice program there in the Big Ten. Big Ten intriguing. Ohio State's going to be the favorite for everybody. Michigan in that conversation. Wisconsin's a team a lot of people like. But Penn State right in that mix too.
Yeah, and McSorley, their quarterback, who you mentioned, you know, as great a player as Barkley was, this kid is just as valuable. And they do graduate some guys on defense, but the recruiting that they have done, and usually Penn State used to be a New Jersey, Pennsylvania recruiting. They've kind of become a little bit of a national-type recruiting team.
I was thinking the same thing,
they've
Coach.
They've gone all over the country and gone players. And I'll tell you, the sleeper team, everyone's going to be talking about, can Harbaugh get back, and the schools you mentioned, Michigan State. I was talking to Mark D'Antonio. And, you know, they had the youngest team that he's ever had since he's been at Michigan State a year ago. And he really likes his team this year. And
they got better as the year went on. And their young quarterback got good.
And you know what? And Fitzy at Northwestern does a heck of a job. You got to play those guys, you know. I mean, he's really done a nice job with that program. So, you know, it's competitive, you know. I mean, from top to bottom. You know what I mean? From top to bottom. And
Coach, do you like the coaches? And I know we got to let you go. I know you got to get cranking, but
got to get a workout in.
I know. But do you like some of these young coaches? Do you hope they stay? Iowa State, Coach Campbell. You want Matt Rhule? I mean, there was always thought of.
Oh, I love Matt Rhule.
Can I get better? Can I go somewhere else? I mean, do you like the fact when you like Fitzy? He's not leaving Northwestern.
No,
you're gonna have
to
pry him out of Northwestern. Some of these guys that. You know, the old ball coaches that stay for years and years, and Coach Snyder. But they have some of these young guys that may never leave.
Well, you know what? The salaries that they're paying these guys,
yes.
Just since I've been out. I mean, it hasn't been that long since I left Pittsburgh. And these salaries have doubled almost right across the board for guys not winning championships. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the money that they're paying these head coaches and assistant coaches, I think, you know, they're crazy to let their egos get in the way and make a move just to make a move. You mentioned Matt Rhule. I've known him. He's a Pennsylvania guy. You know what I mean? So I knew him when he was at Temple. When I was at Pitt, we would be recruiting against each other on some players. And I'd be real curious to see what Baylor does, you know, because he's a heck of a coach. And I was talking to him last night about it, you know, but he likes his quarterback. You know, he thinks
Charlie
he's got
Brewer,
a chance,
yeah.
You know, and so he's excited. And, so there's a lot of interesting storylines, I think, that could come out of this thing here in the next couple of weeks, you know.
Coach, we always love the visit when we see you at Big 12 Media Days. Go get your workout in. I know you'll be making the runs, but I'm glad we got you first.
Yeah, awesome, man. We had some great day. We talked last year. I used to 3,000 people a day at practice this time. We talked about that at the Super Bowl reunion last year when we were coming down there to St. Ed's.
Oh, yeah?
Of course.
I was there. I was going to school there at the time.
I mean, it was crazy.
You guys were rock stars.
Yeah, we had we had a lot of great times in Austin. Always one of my favorite places.
Well, come on back and see us.
All right, guys.
Thank
Dave
you,
Wanstead,
Coach.
The longtime coach, college and pro, NFL and college, sitting with us. College football on Fox as well. You'll find Dave Wanstead. Tremendous conversation to launch the college football season. That's what it's about on Radio Row here at Big 12 Football Media Days. Guys like that walking by to go get on the treadmill and
There you go.
What's up? Let's talk some football. All right, we'll come back. We got to get a timeout. We're late for the break, but when we do, we'll pick up the conversation with you. We can dovetail off of those, the Big 12. The nation. We got more guests coming as well as they just continue to roll in here at Frisco, Texas, the Star Complex, the Ford Center at Big 12 Football Media is presented by Reliable Automotive. Keep it local, keep it reliable. Sure is. B&E live in Big 12 in Frisco, Texas for Big 12 Football Media Days, day two. It's Tuesday. All Star game is tonight. Home Run Derby was last night with some high drama. Bryce Harper, 9 home runs in 47 seconds, was crazy.
That.
Yeah, you turned the channel when he was
I'm telling you, when he's top-spinning them, he top-spinned about 6 in a row, and I'm like, well, that's over with.
Yeah, Bryce, I mean, because it was the final. It's Kyle Schwarber who put 18 on the board, and then Bryce Harper was last up, and, of course, they put him on 4-minute clock. You get to hit as many home runs as you can in 4 minutes. And the first 2 minutes he was pretty good, and he got it to, like, 8 or 9. And then he took his timeout, and he came back. And what you're talking about is when he came out of the timeout, he started, you know, topping over.
Yeah.
And his dad's pitching to him, and it didn't look good. And he got down to 47 seconds left, and
it had to be right when I turned it off.
Said, "Let's get into it, baby." And he just got into a groove, and his dad was putting it right there low. And you could see him at one point signal to his pop, say, "Hey, low and in. And he just got into that. It was like he's on a tee. And it was really dramatic. I mean, it's hard to say that home run derbies are dramatic, but when they put it on the clock, there's, you know, the clock's ticking and everyone's getting nervous. Can he get it in time? Alex Bregman had the exact same thing in his round against Kyle Schwarber. And all the Astros and Verlander, those guys are jumping up and down, Altuve, trying to root them on. I thought that was pretty fun last night. Well, it was pretty fun. I did make a dang coaching mistake. So right from near our hotel, I have the Waze app.
Sure.
Right? So it tells you how to get anywhere, and we're in Frisco. We don't know this area very well. So I'm just looking for a sports bar to go watch this game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch this all-star game, grab something to eat. So from our hotel, I type into the Waze app, grill. This is one of my deals. I'll type in grill, and then it'll search for anything that has the word grill in it that's near you. So it gets this Wild Pitch Sports Grill or something like that. All right. And it was like 0.6 miles from our hotel. I'm like, all right, that's where I'm going. That's perfect. And it's right there by the ballpark.
Right.
Frisco Rough Riders play ball there. So I'm like, oh, that seems good. TVs, watch the game, have a bite to eat, have a Bud Light or two. And 6.6 miles. Seems easy. So get there. And there's Rod Babers, by the way, sitting in the corner. He's there doing work for his show. Turns out the ladies there are wearing, like, underwear. Who knew? I'm like, I'm going to the Wild Pitch Sports Bar.
To the strip club yesterday?
No. But I will say that the lady behind the bar was wearing a G-string.
I said you went to the strip club yesterday. Well,
it was less of a restaurant than an astronaut. If that makes sense. Like, some of those are like real
restaurant.
Top shelf.
Oh, yeah.
This one.
Twin Peaks.
But there's no advertising there. I mean, it's just a Wild Pitch right next to the stadium.
It's just what they wear. That's just a uni.
Yeah. And you go in there with no clue.
Hey, surprise, kids. I just thought I'd bring you in here to watch some sports.
Hey, look, there's her rear end.
Unreal.
So I sat there with Rod,
and stayed for hours.
No. Had a little salad and was out of there, and that was it. But no, it's cool. That was drama. That was fun to watch. It was really cool. Home Run Derby, I thought, did a good job tonight last night. Hey, Dave Wanstead was with us. That was good stuff, and we appreciate him jumping in. And I'll say this about Dave: he mentioned West Virginia. He's looking nationally, and I don't think he's hearing a lot of people talk about West Virginia. Certainly in the Big 12,
yes,
everybody's talking about West Virginia, and they'll be up today with Dana Holgorsen, and they're for a lot of people. You know, they were voted second behind Oklahoma in the media poll. Oklahoma, just because they've won it three straight years, and someone's got to knock them off before you stop picking them. But they have the best quarterback in the Big 12. They've got the most experienced quarterback in the Big 12 in Will Grier.
Most experienced wide receivers.
Yeah, and David Sills. I mean, they do remind you of maybe Oklahoma State a year ago when they had Mason Rudolph and the receivers on the outside.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're gonna. And they've got a good offensive line. They got a first team all Big 12 offensive lineman, maybe all American offensive lineman. The question for them is going to be defense, but they're gonna outscore a lot of teams. And I thought Coach had an interesting point about the schedule. Because if you do look at what West Virginia is doing, they've got a couple of interesting non-conference games, but they're, timing's everything in your schedule. If you played NC State a year ago,
with
Bradley Chubb and that defensive front that all got drafted, that was a handful. Well, this year you're playing a rebuilding Dave Doran NC State team, and they play in Tennessee in year one. Tennessee has got a brand new coach who's coming in and kind of rebuilding that program. So, yes, they're big. They're kind of brand names as far as the college football teams go. NC State not as much as Tennessee, but you're catching them at a good time. And then if you look at – run through the West Virginia schedule, Buck, because if you get to
– well, they've got Tennessee. They've got Youngstown State. They got
Pelican. Watch out for the Penguins.
Yeah, they've got NC State in game number three. 2 years ago, that would have been a hell of a game. And
even
NC
State
– last year they lost all their defensive. Now they play Kansas State at home, but it is at home. They go to Texas Tech. A couple years ago, that would be a problem for them, but not so much. Then they have Kansas, and then they go to Iowa State. Yeah, they can have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's a possibility before
A chance West Virginia, if Will Grier is as advertised, could be 8-0.
Before they play Texas.
Coming to Texas. And
yes,
if they are
Texas.
8-0 coming to Texas, because Will Grier is a senior and a veteran quarterback, leads them into –
But those last four games, Texas, TCU, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma.
Right, exactly.
I mean, come on.
So, yeah, West Virginia could be one of those teams that's sitting there at number three in the nation. Because literally, if they go undefeated, they're 8-0 and when they come into Austin, they'll be a top five team.
With the possibilities of losing
– four straight.
Yeah, it's four straight, or
we'll
at least
see
three.
Where Texas is at that point.
That's
true. And the flip side of that is Texas, because Texas's schedule is so front loaded.
It is.
And if you'll Tom Herman will address this today. I mean, they play Maryland on the road to start the season. They beat them last year, but Texas will be a double digit favorite in that game. We'll see if they can handle their business. Then they play Tulsa, but then that four game stretch, like West Virginia has, comes early when they play USC, TCU, Kansas State, and Oklahoma. Those four games, I mean, where is Texas after six or seven games becomes a huge question. West Virginia could be very well be 8-0. Now, I will say for West Virginia, that game at Iowa State with Matt Campbell's team, I continue to be so impressed with Matt Campbell. That guy is a star in the making in the coaching industry. He was on full bore yesterday with his Iowa State team, who they went 8-5 last year. They beat Oklahoma last year. They beat TCU last year. And as Matt Campbell said yesterday, they learned to win last year in his second year. They started to believe that they could win football games, and you wonder how that carries over into year three with Matt Campbell. And they have a senior quarterback in Kyle Kemp, and maybe the best running back, not just in the Big 12, but in the country, in David Montgomery, the kid out of Columbus, Ohio.
Especially at home.
He's a special player. Yeah, and Ames, Iowa is going to be a tough place to play. So, you know, that West Virginia schedule is interesting to me, because then they got to go to Lubbock with Cliff Kingsbury's
team.
Well,
that's why I picked them third. I picked them third and tied in a tie with Texas at number three in the conference. I know a lot of people like West Virginia, but those last four games can just wear you out no matter what. And if you don't have – if your defense is going to be suspect, that's a hard gauntlet at the end to get through. Now, I don't care if you go 8-0, those last four are – and I know you learn how to win then, but –
No, that's no doubt.
That's a tough last four.
They have a chance, West Virginia, to put themselves in a position. But if Dana Holgerson's team doesn't play some defense, they won't be 8-0, because they won't get out of Iowa State, and they won't get out of Lubbock if they can't stop people.
That's right.
And that's going to be a huge question. All right, so there you go. This says, you just threw Rod under the bus. I didn't throw Rod under the bus. Rod didn't know either. He was just looking for a place to go.
Looking for a place to land. Or maybe Rod knew where he's going.
Well, it was the closest place from our hotel.
I know where that is.
So I'm thinking, well, it's right by the baseball park. This isn't going to be an restaurant. This is going to be a sports bar.
No, it doesn't have the boom boom room outside.
None of that. Nobody, you know, it's sweet to say, this says E shouldn't say talking about a salad at the restaurant. Well, it was Caesar. A little chicken Caesar.
Love that, you know? Chicken Caesar.
Got to have the chicken Caesar when you're at the restaurant. I've never been to one of those before. I didn't know. I had no idea. It's called the Wild Pitch. It doesn't give you any indication.
Just welcome.
Welcome on in. Oh, they're wearing underwear. Nice. So very little underwear at that.
Oh, we're not staying another night. Okay.
Yeah, we're leaving today.
Oh, okay. I got to check it out.
Maybe have lunch over there.
Good place for lunch, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, Tom Herman, it's today for Tom Herman, his talk, we talked about the offensive line, but one thing that they've got to get in gear is this wide receiving core also. You know, there are a lot of question marks on this team, period. I don't think there's many on defense. They've recruited so well, and they've got such a great defensive coordinator. I just can't wait to see some of the young guys on this defense play, like Caden Stearns and also, you know, B.J. Foster. I can't wait to see where those guys implement themselves into this Texas defense, because I don't think it'll be in game four or game five. I think it'll be at the end of the summer. That's how good these players are.
No, there's that.
You know, I really do. That makes me feel good about what kind of recruits that Tom Herman's recruiting. I mean, we've seen Caden Stern. I mean, I've seen that guy play for 3 years now. That guy is a football player.
Cibolo Steel.
And there's not a place that he can't play. And if you need him at wide receiver, he'll go take somebody's job at wide receiver. That's what kind of athlete he is. So I can't wait to see him at full bore, Foster at full bore. There are a number of guys that I think they're going to make real differences on special teams for this football team. But offensively, I'm looking for a couple guys. I need a couple of you to really step out there this year and make some hay. I need Colin Johnson to be the Colin Johnson now. This guy's a senior now?
No, he's junior.
Junior, okay. Yeah, he needs to really make a play this year. They need to put him in position for success. He needs to put himself in position for success.
Well, I always say
I like Jordan Humphrey. I know what he's going to be. I will say this.
For me personally, the wide receiver position has the fewest questions of any position on the offense for me, because I feel like one of their hindrances last year was, A, the rotation, but also if you saw Colin Johnson, when Connor Williams was still on the field and Texas had some semblance of a running game and some pass protection, Colin Johnson owned USC, because USC consistently left him single covered.
Right.
Once Colin Williams got hurt in that game,
and the pressure started to come,
and they didn't have a left tackle, when they already didn't have a right tackle and they couldn't block people, Colin Johnson didn't see single coverage the rest of the season. And they do put him out there. And what they have to be able to do this year is run the ball better and can protect the passer so they can force teams into single coverage on some of their receivers and create those mismatches that Tom Herman's offense wants to create.
Well, he's going to get the mismatches. If they want to play double team with Colin Johnson, then little Jordan Humphrey is going to just crush people because you're not going to be able – he's the guy – who out of any of them right now will demand, you know, in situations third and four, third and five, he's going to get the ball.
I think little Jordan Humphrey has a chance to be, you know, a star in this offense. Colin Johnson, obviously, is a guy at 6 foot six with that wingspan and the athleticism who they've challenged him to even take a step forward. You know, Jerod Hurd is a senior, has been playing receiver now for three full seasons. He has a chance. Devin Duvernay. I mean, I feel really good about
that
receiver.
Yeah, he can take the top off of it.
But in this conference, where last year, you know, Matt Campbell at Iowa State and Todd Orlando at Texas really pushed forward this lightning package, the six DBs, if people are going to run six DBs against you, you have to be able to run the football. You have to be able to take advantage of that up front. Texas, quite honestly, was not able to do that last year, even against – I mean, we saw Texas last year against three-man lines get beat and not be able to push anything. Well, you're not – I mean, there's eight people covering your four. I mean, there's not a lot of spaces there, and you have a freshman quarterback that's slinging it to them. They have to change that equation, and they have to change it if they're going to take a step forward in this conference. There is no doubt. But I feel good about the receiver corps, as good about the receiver corps as any position on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, you mentioned the young defensive backs. That lightning package comes back into play.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the lightning package, if you're going to put six DBs on the field, you could see a B.J. Foster or a Caden Stearns or one of these young guys in that package going with some of the veterans, the Chris Boyds, the Brandon Joneses of the world. We'll talk Texas football. Tom Herman and the Longhorns are one of the five teams here. He's bringing Patrick Vahe, Chris Nelson, Andrew Beck, and Brecken Hager. Matt Rule and Baylor will be here. Dana Holgerson in West Virginia today. The old ball coach, Bill Snyder, and the K-State Wildcats with an entire offensive line coming back and two quarterbacks. Watch out for them. And, of course, the Oklahoma State Cowboys with Mike Gundy. We'll be back. We'll pick it up on the other side with some hot or not. Dylan Fry producing the program today. He'll lead us through that. Also, more guests. Appreciate Dave Wanstead jumping on with us. There are more to come this morning, and we'll get you some thumbnail thoughts on what went on yesterday with the five teams that were here, including Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley stepping into the big shoes of Bob Stoops and showing that he's the real leader of that Oklahoma program. Get you details, let you hear from the second-year head coach coming up. It's B&E on the Horn.
What's hot?
This segment is brought to you by the Altstadt Brewery. The Altstadt Brewery won the bronze medal at the World Beer Cup for their Alt Beer. That's the green label, available now at your local HEB and other favorite retailers.
All right, hot or not, Lincoln Riley was pretty hot yesterday. We'll get to him coming up. He's got a pretty unprecedented situation at his quarterback position and why he answered so vehemently yesterday to a question about Kyler Murray. That's the quarterback position in Norman is not settled yet. He was very clear about that. We'll get you details, let you hear from Lincoln Riley coming up. Also looking forward to the hot or not topics of today. But Dylan Fry, who is doing a nice job producing the program today back at the Head Horn headquarters, right there on the banks of 360 with our beautiful view of downtown Austin. We'll be back in those headquarters tomorrow. But Dylan, how are you, my friend?
Doing pretty great, guys. How about you?
Oh, good, man. We're in Frisco. Frisco. Yeah. Lovely Frisco, Texas. And by the way, the guy on the text line, I did not go to a place called Wild Bee. It was Wild Pitch. It was Wild Pitch. It's the name of it. Quit going off the reservation.
Always have to go somewhere else.
Don't misquote where I the sports bar that was 0.5 miles from the hotel last night.
I was in my room.
Yes.
Where I belonged.
They didn't have a Caesar salad in my room.
No.
So I'm still to Wild Pitch Sports
I'm still bar. Eating China food from the night before.
Oh, you had China food?
I had China food leftover. Oh, is that good? There's nothing like some good China food right leftover. No, it sat pretty well.
All right. Hey, what do you have, Dylan?
All right, guys. I don't have too much today. I got a couple birthdays for you guys. First off, country star Luke Bryan. He's having a birthday today.
He was on American Idol this
year.
Yeah,
he was, yeah.
Yeah. Katy Perry and Lionel Richie. Bringing it. And your guy, Bobby Bones.
Bobby Bones.
Bobby Bones is a part of American Idol. All right, so happy birthday to Luke.
All right, second birthday for the day is David Hasselhoff, the Hoff.
Ooh, don't hassle the Hoff.
Kid.
Hey,
love kid.
Dylan, I mean, I know you can pull this off. You've got to pull up some David Hasselhoff singing. You know, he is a...
Oh my God, no.
Remember Dirk Nowitzki used to talk about how he would listen and channel David Hasselhoff's
before
songs
games.
In his ears when he was shooting free throws. Like, he'd be shooting free throws, and to keep himself focused, he would channel his inner David Hasselhoff, of course, from Baywatch fame. But I remember It's like when I told you that my first time I saw Johnny Depp, one of your favorites, mm-hmm. was in the show called 21 Jump Street, way back in the day, way back when I was a kid. Here we go. David Hasselhoff. Oh, that's terrible. He's a star in Germany.
Yeah, he is.
Turn that up, boy, there. Yeah, I first saw David Hasselhoff in the show Knight Rider.
Of course, yeah.
Remember Knight Rider with the car that could talk, kit mm-hmm. car? Everybody wanted a kit car. Yeah, that was the day. That was the man. So he has a birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday to him.
The great David Hasselhoff. Yeah. No, he's a star, man. He's made a lot of money singing with that curly hair of his.
What else you got, Dell?
All right. Got a couple of national days for you guys. Today is National Emoji Day.
Oh.
I like the poop emoji. I'm still the cutest
thing.
You like
the poop emoji?
I think it's so cute, that little poop emoji.
Who's sending you poop emojis? That's weird.
I sent them to my wife.
You send her poop emojis?
I think those are cute. Because I can't believe they'd actually have emoji that's a piece of crap.
Hey, look, honey, it's poop.
I can't believe it. I mean, why? Why do they even have that? But it's cute, and I send it all around.
Now, we used to have a debate whether it's okay for men to send emojis to other men.
No, it's not.
Now, what about the thumbs up emoji? I'm big on the okay emoji because that says a lot quick. I mean, I don't have to type anything okay or thumbs up, okay, good.
I don't like LOMA. I don't like LOL. I don't like emojis from other men. When they send that to me, I don't think it's cute. I think it's gross. Don't send me a man emoji.
Where are we at in society?
Yeah, where are we at in society? Just say hello. No emoji necessary. Text me.
You like to call and talk, though. You're still the guy that loves to call and talk on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk for a long time on the phone, but I don't mind texting, but don't send me those little things at the end of the text. You know what I mean?
National Emoji Day.
Especially the men now who are making those ones that look like Mark Honig sends me whatever those things are called,
gift. No.
That looks like him with the glasses. And
He's got his own character?
Yeah, and they always make it look better than the actual picture of the person. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, how do you do that? You don't
My
look
wife
anything
has
like
one of those,
this.
And it's pretty cool. My daughter, I think, has one. My wife will send it to me every now and again. Honig has one?
My wife has one that who sends me, like, Wonder Woman. I'm like, you don't like Wonder. What are you doing? What are you sending me?
Like Linda Carter?
Yeah. I'm like, what is Linda Carter sending me stuff for?
For females, that's fine. Yes. For Mark Honig, that is not okay.
A dude shouldn't send
dudes
me one
cannot
of them.
Have character caricatures
and send it to other dudes
of themselves. No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
Thank you.
No. Double no.
Yeah. No. My wife is listening now, so I'm probably going to get something back from.
No, it's okay. The wife thing's kind of cool. I kind of like that.
You like your wife sends hers?
Especially like when I'm away and she sends a picture and it's like, okay, you know, reminds you of her. That's good.
How can they make those even more realistic? Can they do things with those where they? Do you know what I'm saying?
Are you looking for, like...
so that I don't have to hang out with you and Rod where you guys go? Can I have one sent to my hotel?
Wild Pitch?
I don't have to go to the Wild Pitch.
Well, I guess they could. Maybe you could find one with...
I'm going
to
find out if we can get that done, as a matter of fact. We'll ask her about that.
Just at that point, just tell her to take a snapshot.
No, that's in the cloud. That's up there.
Oh, then it goes in the cloud.
Yeah, that one goes to the cloud.
So those are your text messages, don't they? They end up in the cloud.
Forgot about
Dylan, what's the other national day today?
All right, I got two more things for you guys. One last national day. It's National Tattoo Day.
Don't have one. Bucky has a butterfly on his back shoulder.
It's this dragon.
Now, is that the true story that you went in to get a butterfly tattoo of a dragon, but you were drinking at the time and you ended up getting a butterfly?
I tried to point at the thing that looked like I was pointing like this at the. I know you can't see me out there, but I tried to make a. I had some drinks and I thought I pointed at this cool looking dragon, and dude took it as if the butterfly was next to the dragon. I ended up with the butterfly.
Dang, yeah.
That tells you to be.
It's very small. It's about as big as a quarter. I've seen it on your back.
And it's starting to melt into my skin as I get older. I mean, it just kind of.
I've never had
faded away.
I wonder if I will at some point in my life.
No, and if you haven't done it now, you're not going to do it.
You don't think so?
No.
Now that I'm 45?
There's no need to.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get an emoji tattooed on my rear end. That might be a good
one. Get a poop one. Get a poop emoji on your butt cheek.
It'll look like a mole.
That'd be great, man. And it has little eyes on it. That's what's so cute. That piece of crap has eyes on it and a smile. I don't understand why people – why would they have a poop emoji? Who do you send those to? Like, somebody you think is a piece of crap, you send them one of those?
Yes,
you're a
exactly.
piece of crap.
You are poop.
Yes.
All right. Dylan, last thing, what do you have?
All right, guys. So, with the pace of play in baseball, a hot topic, on the most recent episode of the podcast series that we have, the Full Sports Monty Today, Chris Coleman joined the show to talk about automatic strike zone and automated strike zones. What do you guys think about automated strike zones in baseball?
Oh, man, that is a long topic. And, yes, Monty Williams with the Full Sports Monty podcast, a new conversation. And if you're into the automated strike zones, this is a tremendous one. It really goes inside the augmented reality and how it can work. I've always been a proponent of it for a long time. Bucky knows that, but I get a lot of brushback from my baseball purists. I think the strike zone is a strike zone. It's not a person's opinion. So if you can get it right, get it right. I think it'll speed up the game. I think it'll be better for baseball, but that's my opinion.
I just want to go with the old time stuff. Leave that alone.
Leave it alone.
Let the umpires.
You think it's
umpires screw up the game.
You think that idea is a poop emoji?
It is.
Hey, check out those Full Sports Monty podcasts at hornfm.com. The augmented reality one is up. It is tremendous. You'll learn a lot about the science of it and what goes on behind the scenes from an absolute expert in the field. We're coming back. We'll pick it up on this National Emoji Day. We'll also talk to Jeff Howe, Horns 24/7 preview, Tom Herman, and the Longhorns here at Big 12 Media Days. Brady Quinn scheduled to join the show as well. And Lincoln Riley, we'll hear from the Oklahoma quarterback on his quarterback situation, as unique a one as we've seen in a long, long time in Norman, Oklahoma. It's B&E on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.